Hello, friends. Well, yesterday we again had trouble recording the sermon, so this will be another private reading of what we did in the service yesterday. This is the end of the series of Joining God's Mission, and where we look at God's mission and your front line. So I've started each sermon in the series with a large dose of review, but that can be a tricky thing. Review is good in building memorability and clarity, emphasizing what's important. But if you repeat something too much, people get pretty sick of it, and eventually they start hitting you with sticks or things. But all the same, I'm going to err on the side of clarity, partly because over the internet you can't reach me with sticks or things. And erring on the side of clarity, I'm going to again run through kind of the main points of this series on joining God's mission. So we started by saying that God's mission is to bring about a perfect world, a world of peace and joy, where everything is according to His will. And we've noted that the world becomes that way by humanity, who's given this role of being God's vice regent in authority over creation. As the world chooses to do things God's way, the world becomes what it's supposed to be. And so God creates the first world full of evidence of His goodness. He makes it a good, good place so that people looking around would understand that God can be trusted and they would choose to do things His way. Unfortunately, that is not what happened and is not what has continued to happen. Instead of bringing the world into perfection by obedience, we've brought the world into sin through disobedience. And this state of sin, not sin as a specific thing that you do or say wrong, but the condition that we find ourselves in, the state of sin, makes it impossible for us to really see God's goodness clearly. We have a hard time believing that what He wants is actually better than what we want. And it also hardens our hearts against Him, which makes it impossible for us to submit to His will. But then in the second week, we saw that Jesus fulfills God's mission. First of all, as the atonement for sin, Jesus undoes the work of sin. He removes the guilt that keeps God away from us, and He removes the hostility that keeps us from God. But He also acts as the perfect revelation of God's goodness and faithfulness. Seeing Jesus in the Gospels, we come to a new understanding of who God is and what He wants to do with us. As we see who Jesus is and what God does through Him, the thought of yielding our will and accepting God's will actually starts to make sense. And then finally, we saw as a human being, Jesus is perfectly obedient to God's will, even to the cross. In Jesus, God has the kind of human being that Adam was supposed to be. The kind of human being that we are supposed to be. And so wherever Jesus is, God's mission is really being fulfilled. Wherever Jesus is, the world is really being made right. But then we saw that just seeing God's mission and how what Jesus does with it isn't the whole story, because God at every part of the story puts His people right in the middle. So we took 3 weeks looking at how the church relates to God's mission. And we saw that we are right in the middle of God's mission because His mission is for us. It is among us and it is through us. First, because the church is the people of God, God's mission is for us. We are the beneficiaries of His work to make the world right. And we respond to all His goodness with worship, which is not just singing or praying. It is the experience of God's goodness. And because of that, it's not just for Sunday morning. It's all through our lives. Second, because the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's mission is among us. We are the sphere of His mission, the place where that perfect world that He desires is actually beginning to happen. In the church, we see sin being overcome, God's goodness being seen, and God's will being obeyed. And as we experience that kingdom unfolding among us, we then bear a witness to the world. When people bump into what God is doing in our lives, they bump into something that points to a world that's unlike the world they know. It points to a world the way that God wants. And then third, we saw that because the church is the body of Christ, God's mission is through us. We are the agent of his mission. Everything that Jesus is doing to fulfill God's mission, he is doing through us, through the church, which is his presence in the world. So, our worship and our witness are always closely tied to good work out there in the world, doing whatever it is that we can to build up that which is part of the world God wants, and opposing whatever it is that tears down and harms what God loves. But all of this, and you know, I ran through all of that quickly. If any of it seemed unfamiliar or you weren't sure about it, go back. The other first five sermons are all right there online where you found this one, and you can clarify anything there. But all of these ideas can still seem very distant. They can seem unreal. They can seem, God forbid, churchy. So, even if I try to make all my sermon examples down to earth and concrete, it's still a lot of very abstract ideas that can stay a long ways away from the place where you spend all your time, right? The place whose mud gets stuck to your boots, the place whose cares get stuck to your heart. That muddy, care-ridden place, the place where you spend all your time, work, school, home, your regular weekly activities, that place is what we call your front line. And today, to end the series, we want to look at the specific ways that all of this big mental framework of joining God's mission can actually change the way that you do what you already do on your front line. The hope is that by looking at what you already do differently, you'll find that God is already at work far more than you realized. At work in the things that you thought maybe weren't important. At work in every detail of your life. And that because of that, everything you do, wherever it is, however unimportant it seems, everything you do is actually an opportunity to join God's mission. The first thing that God's mission teaches us about our front line, our mundane, everyday lives, is that God is actively at work all around us. Now, I think most of us already believe that. That's not a big bombshell new truth. But because God is at work in all of life, it means that all of life is where God wants us to be living as his disciples. Right? And this means that there is no area, no place in your life that is the part of life that God's not interested in. In Colossians 1:19 and 20, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Now, when we usually talk about God reconciling something through the blood shed on the cross, we all typically think of reconciling guilty human souls. But here, there really is no limit to all things. We're not talking only about redeeming souls, although that's absolutely still at the very heart of what God is up to in the world. But all things points to making everything about this world line up with how God intended for it all to work. The world is not the way God wanted it. Reconciling all things is making all things the way God wants them. What's the part of your life that you would be most likely to put your finger down on and say, "This surely God doesn't care that much about"? Is your work unspiritual? Maybe your hobby or your personal interest really is just free time, time for you to do what you need, and it doesn't really matter anything to anyone else. Maybe the dreary chores that need to be done. Things like driving the kids around every day, or washing the dishes, or feeding the chickens. The fact that God's mission is to reconcile all things to himself means that he cares about every area of human life. If it wasn't part of what it is that he desires to reconcile all things to, it wouldn't exist. And because he cares about every area of human life, he cares about every area of your life. There is nothing out there. There is nothing in your daily life that is not fit somehow into his vision of what the world ought to be like. The second thing that God's mission reminds us of is that his activity all around us is bigger than us. Now, I fear that we often imagine that God's activity in the world is all about us, that he's here to protect us, here to help us, here to bless us, and that if we're not in need of something, then God doesn't really have anything to do except wait, or maybe to go help somebody else. So the ideas of God's mission are an important reminder that when we say that God is actively at work in the world, we don't mean that he's just standing at the ready to respond when we call out to him. We don't mean that he's just available for our agenda. We mean that he is actively at the work doing his mission. He's actively at work every area of your life accomplishing his work. Yes, he cares about you. And he has promised to be there for you, to protect you and bless you. He is your refuge in your high tower. He is your redeemer and your savior. But all of that is part of a much larger work that encompasses the whole world. Wherever you are, God is at work there, pursuing his mission of a world without harm or hurt. Romans 6:13 says, "Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." Now, people might remember from when we were preaching through Romans last year that people who study Romans the way that kind of most of us never will say that the word righteousness, and particularly the phrase the righteousness of God, has a very specific meaning in Romans. It doesn't mean simply that God is righteous. It doesn't simply mean that that righteousness is doing the right thing. In Romans, righteousness, or the righteousness of God, refers to God's intervention, his breaking into this world to make it what it's supposed to be. The righteousness of God is God's activity or intervention in the world to make the world right. What does that sound like? God's activity in the world to make the world what he wants? That's what we've been calling God's mission. And so this idea of instruments of righteousness, this is simply presenting ourselves to be the agents of God's mission. He is at work in the world to make it all that he wants, and you are his instruments of righteousness, the tools that he uses to intervene in the world and make it right. When we say that God is actively at work in every area of your life, we don't mean that he's simply there for you, for you to use him to accomplish your plans. We mean that he is actively at work in every area of your life to use you to accomplish his plans. Joining God's mission reminds us that when God is with us, it's not just about us, and that every part of our life is an area for us to learn what God is doing to accomplish his mission of a world the way that he wants it. Third, the ideas of joining God's mission also remind us that wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we need to be directly dependent on Jesus. Again, not a bombshell, something that we all believe and understand, right? Think of John 15, a chapter that is very familiar, beloved, and dearly believed by all of us. Verses 4 and 5. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Those last words are the ones that we often quote and think about. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You get a bunch of Christians in a room, you ask them if they believe that apart from Jesus they can do nothing, and there will be resounding yes from every corner. But when we then turn and look at the everyday life of those same people, when we look at our own daily lives, I'm not sure that we often feel like we can do nothing. Your job might be to build houses. Well, you know what? You know how to do that. The task in front of you might be to study for your math test. You know how to do that. Your task might be to catch up on the week's ironing. And I sincerely doubt, no matter what, how sincere of a Christian you are, that when you pick up the next blouse, your thought is, Jesus, I can't get these wrinkles out in my own strength. Work through me. Okay? Now, you might seem that I'm being a little silly or whatever, but think about it. We say that apart from Christ, we can do nothing, and yet 110 hours a week, the vast majority of our lives, we're busy doing things that we can do. And we never stop to think, what is God doing in it? How do I need him? Okay? And it comes down to, what is it that we think we're doing? And I would say that joining God's mission reminds us that as we are building a house, as we're studying for a test, as we are doing the daily work of a household, God is there and desires to use what we are doing to get done what he is doing. And if we don't have sight of that, then we don't understand how we're supposed to be dependent on Jesus. If the job is just to get the thing done, if the job is just to fold the laundry, or wash the dishes, or feed the chickens, or build the house, or go to work and not, you know, and do your job, well, you know what? You can do that. But if the job is to do the ironing in such a way that the whole time you are enjoying the goodness of God and worshiping him all the time, you need Jesus for that. If the job is to study for the math test in such a way that everyone who bumps into you sees a joy and a peace and a goodness that points to a world so much better than the world that they know, you need Jesus doing that through you. If the job is to build houses, but to build houses in such a way that everything you touch is left that much closer to what it will be like in heaven, you need Jesus doing that through you. Wherever you are, whatever you do, in all things, Jesus wants to use you as an instrument of righteousness. He wants to use what you are doing to accomplish his mission. And so we join him in worship, in witness, and in work. But those things don't happen in some holy place. We don't worship in the prayer closet or in the sanctuary. We don't witness with a badge on our shirt and our Bible tucked under our arm, knocking on doors. We might, but not only. and we don't work just under the banner of a church program at the food bank. The work of the church doesn't take place sealed off from the rest of life. The work of the church happens right in the middle of your daily life. The work of the church takes place on your front line. And because of that, joining God's mission doesn't mean like dropping everything and quitting your job and volunteering 30 hours a week in a church program. Joining God's mission means learning to see what God wants to do in and through the things that you already do, and then simply presenting yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness in the things that you do. And to help us learn to do that, because this isn't something that you just turn around tomorrow and you start doing. This is a whole new way of seeing life. This is a whole new way of thinking, and that's going to take time. That's going to take habits. That's going to take discipline to change the way that we live. And to help us to learn to think this way, here's a list of questions that we can learn to ask ourselves all through the day. And these are questions that I really like would be to become part of the DNA of our church. One, what's going on around me right now? Whatever it is you're doing, whatever you're busy with, whatever's got that like right in front of your eyes, just the habit of picking your head just up a little bit and looking around and being aware of where you are, and especially being aware of who else is there. What's going on around you? Who is there around you? The second question is then, what is God doing there? Now, that sounds like a big question that could be hard to answer, but I think very, very frequently, as soon as we just become aware of our surroundings, we become a lot more aware of what God might be up to. I don't think God hides what He's doing from us. I think we don't see it because we're not paying attention. And that as soon as we stop to think and ask God, what are you doing here? I think often He's eager to show us. But if it's ever hard to pin down what is God doing here, then at least ask yourself, what does God care about here? What's going on around me? Who is around me that is important to God and is important to His mission? And then, as you can answer the second question, the third is, how then can you join Him? Whatever it is that God's doing, how can you be the little boy that's right there with his dad as his dad works on the house or fixes the car? The question isn't what can you do for God? What important task did He drop on your shoulders? And what's your responsibility so that you don't blow it and fail God? Got to get away from that thinking. But what is it that God wants you to do together with Him as He is there doing it? How can you join God in what He's doing? And again, if you can't nail down what God is doing, and the best that you can say is, what does He care about in this situation? Then at least ask yourself, what can I do to show God that I care about what He cares about? I find that's a really helpful way to look at a situation. What word, what action, what attitude in whatever I'm doing can show God that I care about the things that He cares about? Those three questions and a lot of situations in life will get you a long ways towards joining God's mission. But there's a fourth question that looks more at when you come back to gather with your brothers and sisters as the church. And at that point, the fourth question is, how can we, the church collectively and the individuals in the church, how can we help you? How can we equip you and train you to be better, to be in a better place to help God in the mission, right? How can we support you? As you're out there on your front line, there are going to be things that are really difficult. It's not always easy to see what God is up to, and it's not always easy to participate. How do we help you? How do we support you? How do we pray for you as you're out on your front line? And how do we help hold you accountable? If you're here this week and you're talking about your frontline situation and you're asking for us to pray, how do we come back next week and say, how'd it go? Did you follow through? So that's the end of this series, and we're going to move on. But we're not really going to move on, because whatever it is that we move on to, the purpose will still be to equip you to be able to answer these same questions in every area of your life. The purpose will still be to help you become a disciple of Jesus in every area of your life. As we move on, the purpose will still be to equip you to join God's mission in every area of your life. And I'd like to close with Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God.